Blog Talk Radio.
Another one, y'all. Another one, y'all. Coming at y'all with another one right here. Never the match. To this generation of women. Cheer. Let go.
We are coming.
We are a chosen
I'm a one.
live on the air. Yes, one more time. Man, just trusting and believing that God is who he says he is and does what he says he can do. Want to welcome each and every one of you to another live broadcast of It's Time to Pray, brought to you by Word on the Water International Ministries and WOTW Internet Radio. This is Apostle Gregory R. Pinson, Sr., bringing you the very best of great gospel music and the Word of God. Straight from heaven's gates to your ear gates, we are It's Time to Pray. And man, I'm here to tell you tonight, look. If you don't have a reason or don't have an understanding why we must pray daily, look at Ohio. You had a demented individual who happened to be Muslim. And I don't have anything against Muslims. Let me first clarify this. I don't have anything against my Muslim brothers and sisters. But this brother was in a place of torment in his mind. So he decided to take his car and try to hit people with it. And he got out with a butcher knife and tried to slap. Well, actually, he didn't try, but he did. He accomplished cutting people. Actually, I think it was 9 individuals that were cut and had to be taken into the hospital. And fortunately, the law enforcement was able to take the young man down. Unfortunately, he did pass away. Saints, then you had Louisiana, I think it was, Saturday night on Bourbon Street, where there was another shooting in the crowd. And right now, I think it was just one that passed away from that one. Violence is at an all-time high. These individuals, these tormented individuals that feel that the only answer is for me to take my weapon out and to shoot or to cut or to beat or to maim is ridiculous. Little girl in New York, 12 years old, coming home from the grocery store with a bag of groceries and $3 on her, was pushed into an alley by a young man and was punched in her face, and the food was taken from her. Her $3 was taken from her, but thank God she's still okay. This kind of stupidity, this kind of violence must come to an end. And this is why we pray. This is why we seek God's face. This is why we turn from our own wicked ways and we start to turn towards God. This is why we've got to have this broadcast even the more. This is why we're doing what we do on this broadcast, because we're tired of innocent individuals having to lose their lives and nobody's praying. You know, the sad irony of the story is that as I heard people talk about what happened on the campus in Ohio today or this morning, people were saying, well, that's the norm now. We became cold to murder or attempted murder. We've become cold to terrorism acts. And that's just not how it should be. That's not how it should be. You know, and I'm scratching my head and I'm thinking to myself, wow, is this what society has succumbed to? That, you know, it's not penetrating the mind or the hearts of individuals anymore. Oh, well, it wasn't me. Didn't happen to me. Little 12-year-old girl, well, you know, that happens. What do you want me to do? Pray. Seek God's face. Turn from your wicked ways. Trust God for every individual on this earth. You know, we've got to change. And it starts in the body of Christ. You know, I did a post today, and I knew I wasn't going to get any response from it. I knew it. I simply said, is your house ready for Jesus? I got one person to respond to it. And I think 3 people to like it. And I put on there, I knew this was a topic that nobody wants to touch. Is your house ready for God? or for Jesus, excuse me. You know, and the sad irony is, if we really take a close look at ourselves, if we take a good look at the mirror and do a self-examination, you will find that the answer is no. No, I'm not ready for myself to meet Jesus. No, my house isn't ready for Jesus' return. No, I'm not prepared. But we go to church. We turn over pews. We handaya, shotoro, and taikaya, all at the wrong times. My God. We've got to get to another level, my brothers and sisters, and that is to love. To love one another enough. To teach, to show, to guide, to influence. We've got to do this. One young lady was telling me today, she says, you know what, my husband and I, we just got married, but we were deciding not to have kids now. She said, all my life, all I wanted to do was to have two kids. She said, but I'm scared to have a child in this environment. And I'm just shaking my head. This is what the world is coming to. You know, we've got to do something. We can't sit up, and pastors, we cannot sit up in the pulpit taking up folks' tithes and offerings and not bring any kind of resolution or any kind of information back to the community. We need to be seeking the senators, the governors, the mayors, and we need to have dialogues. We need to seek the presidents and have dialogues. But see, when I hear pastors, matter of fact, no, this was not a pastor. This young lady's not a pastor. She happens to be one of my Facebook friends, but not for too long after tonight. This young lady, and I don't know if I should say this or not, but she calls herself a prophetess. And she'll throw that N-word out publicly just as easy as I say, God bless you. She'll talk about how she wants to, she wants to do some really weird things. And I'm saying to myself, when is it that the body of Christ is going to wake up? Some of you may have this young lady as your Facebook friend. You may know who I'm talking about. But the thing about it is, if you call yourself a prophetess or a prophet or a man or woman of God, period, we need to understand that God is looking for us to set the standard, to set an example, to be the one that he can call upon and trust during times of turmoil. He does not need us to be sitting up here on Facebook Live talking about we want to be a freak in the theaters at 12 noon. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I could not believe what I was hearing. But ultimately, saints, you've got to make a decision. You've got to make a choice. Am I really going to serve God? Or am I going to serve this world? Like I said, this prophecy won't be my Facebook friend after tonight. She can't be. I can't have these kind of people around me. Just can't. But you want to talk like this, like you're part of the world. Talking about she wants a thug for a boyfriend or a thug for a husband. Where's the God in that? Anyway, I can't dwell on that. It just hurts my heart. It hurts me deeply because I'm watching young brothers agreeing with everything that she is saying because it sounds good, but it's called erroneous doctrine. It's called witchcraft. At its finest. It's called trickery. It's lies and deceit. And in the body of Christ, we've got to change this. We must change this. And if we don't, we're going to fall prey to Satan. We're going to fall right into his pits. We're going to fall right into his grasp. That's why we got to pray. Amen. Pastor Moore, God bless you. Woman of God, I see you on the line with us tonight. I thank God for you. Matter of fact, say to God, can I just do something a little bit different tonight? I want to pull the woman of God up. Pastor, how are you tonight? Pastor Moore, Eve Moore, take your phone off mute. Pastor Eve Moore.
Hello.
God bless you, woman of God. How are you?
This is Shaquella, Pastor Apostle Pinson.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Pastor Moore was on the line. I thought she was. Amen. Well, we're going to go forward. Say to God, we got to pray. We got to believe God. We got to seek his face. We got to turn from our wicked ways. And we got to say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to do it your way. So tonight, I want you to open up your hearts. I want you to open up your mind. And I want you to get prepared as we get ready to go to the throne room of God. And we're going to believe God for change. We're going to believe God for opportunity for him to do something magnificent in our lives. Most Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace tonight, as we come before you with bended knees, as we come with heads bowed, Lord God, as we come seeking your attention, as we come seeking your guidance, as we come seeking your love, God, we come first to say thank you. Thank you for being that Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the forever living God, a God who is more than enough, a healing God, a God of great recompense, a God who created mankind from the dust of the earth. Oh, Father God, I thank you for being who you are. I thank you for being up in heaven. I thank you for allowing earth to be formed. And I thank you for what you're doing on it right now. Oh, great I am tonight. I come before your throne of grace with a beating heart that's so hurt. And Lord, you told us in your word that these things were to happen. But yet and still, it doesn't take away the pain like I thought it would have. God, I'm still hearing about people being killed, people being shot, children being abducted, and then individuals in school trying to get an education staffed. Lord, forgive us, for we know not what we're doing. And we need more of you and less of us. We need more of your grace and your Shekinah glory. We need more of your wisdom and your love. Father God, I don't know what it's going to take hatred out of the hearts of mankind. But I thank you that if you could just send down your angels, if you could just send down your angels to touch individuals tonight. Lord, there's some family members in Ohio not understanding why their child was cut to death. There's 9 families that is going through a time of trying to understand, is it safe for my child to be in school there? God, I thank you. As a family in Louisiana mourns the loss of their son today, not understanding why he was gunned down, for what reason, but they just know that they must bury now. Lord, hearts are breaking all over the world tonight. And people are asking and seeking. And they're crying out to Abba, Father. Lord, tonight I ask that you touch the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls throughout the world tonight. That you touch the hearts of those who are in a time of need, a time of comforting, a time of thirst for your love. Lord, I ask that you just bless those who are in need of you tonight. Lord, there's somebody on this broadcast tonight that is seeking your face, that is trusting that your word will never leave them nor forsake them. Father God, there's somebody listening in right now. They're saying, you know what? I'm ready to give up. I'm ready to give in to ministry. I'm ready to let go of this thing and just do it my way. But God, I thank you that you don't give them the give up spirit. Lord, let them know that just right around the corner, there's a mighty breakthrough. Let them understand that, Father God, they serve a God who's more than enough, and not to let them give up. Not to let them give up. Oh, I thank you for it tonight. I thank you for who you are. But Daddy, that's not the end of our prayer. I pray for the military forces, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, the Coast Guard. Father God, that you continue to strengthen these men and women who chose to serve this country. Those who are stateside and then those who are deployed overseas. I ask that you give them wisdom beyond measure to understand the role that they're to play in supplying security for this great nation. Touch them like never before and love on them, Lord. Love on them like never, never before. Let them know that you've got their back and we're going to love on them. Oh, great I am, but I can't stop there. Lord, there's men, women, boys, and girls that are incarcerated in juvenile detention centers, federal penitentiaries, city jails, and county jails. Lord, no matter what it took them to get in there, I'm believing that by the blood of your son, Jesus of Nazareth, you can change their mindset. You can change their heartbeat. You can change the will and the way that they've been living. Lord, that if they just think about calling upon you, that you'll show up even in solitary confinement. You'll show up in that jail cell, Lord, and you will allow them to be changed. Tonight, I'm believing for them, and I'm asking the Holy Spirit to make a way through every jail cell, every juvenile detention center, every place of incarceration, that these men and women, these boys and girls, can have a new thought of life. And that thought process is serving you, Lord. Turning from their wicked ways and serving you. God, tonight, I just beg of you to change their mindsets. But Daddy, I can't stop there. I pray for local government, county government, city government, federal government tonight. I pray for the president, the vice president, their families. I pray for the president-elect, the vice president-elect and their families. I pray for this new administration and all the cabinet members and their families, Lord God, that you will do a turnaround in their lives. Lord God, whatever differences people may have, I ask that they call for peace. The first thing that needs to be done, Lord, is to let peace rule this earth, or at least the United States of America. Let peace be still, Lord. Give them the ability just to seek your face, even for the first time, and to trust in you, the God of more than enough, to take away the hurt of this nation. Because, God, this nation is hurting. This nation is crying out. This nation is being destroyed. Lord, and I just thank you. I thank you in advance for victory. I thank you in advance that we can hold our heads up high, walk down the street without fear and trembling, and know that we serve a mighty God who's capable and able to protect us in every avenue of our lives. I just believe it to be done tonight. But Daddy, I can't stop there. I pray for every listener tonight, anyone who's listening in live or either by archive. Lord God, no matter what it is that they're going through, no matter how they're feeling, I just seek your face tonight and ask, Lord God, that you allow what you already put in place for them to start to come to fruition. I decree and declare this night that every listener of this broadcast, your life is about to be changed. Your life, your way of thinking is about to take a turn for the better. I pray for every pastor, every teacher, every evangelist, every apostle, every prophet tonight. Lord God, that you give them the spirit of love, compassion, and desire to teach the oracles of you, Lord God. I thank you right now, Daddy God. Hallelujah. Lord, that you just show them which direction to go in. That you give them the ability to speak and to teach with love and simplicity. All this complex doctrine that's going around, if it's not of you, Lord, let it be shut down. In Jesus' name. Now allow my vocal cords to be used by you, Lord. Allow this word that's about to flow through my mouth to be directed by you. Lord, allow me to decrease so that yet you can increase. Allow this word to be edifying to you and to those who hear it. And I believe it to be done in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 Oh, bless the name of Jesus. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, I thank you so much. I thank you. I thank you, God, for who you are and what you're doing, for what you're about to do, and how you're about to show it. Saints, I'm here to tell you, call somebody up right now. Text somebody, inbox somebody, and tell them, say, hey, look, turn into this station. Call into this station. Listen to this broadcast. Because I'm about to teach you something that I pray that it's going to help you. I pray it's going to give you nourishment to go even further. Amen. Amen. Well, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to do something I love doing on Inside of Prayer, and that's the recipe of life. And for all my new listeners, the recipe of life is when we go in the Bible and we pull out different scriptures to guide our lives and to also guard our lives. Amen. It's something that we need to be strengthened with. It's something that we need to be able to have a love fest with. The recipe of life will not hurt you, but it will help you grow in your believer's walk with Christ Jesus. So tonight I'm going into the book of Hebrews, the second chapter, excuse me, in the 10th verse, and it reads as thus. It says, God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. And it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into their salvation. Now, you know, that's an interesting comment. How was Jesus made perfect through suffering? Jesus' suffering made him a perfect leader or a pioneer of our salvation. Jesus did not need to suffer for his own salvation, but he was God's son in human form. I said, but because. Because, I mean, think about it. This is God's son in human form. So he didn't need to suffer for himself, but he had to suffer for each and every one of us. His perfect obedience, which led him down the road of suffering, demonstrates that he was the complete sacrifice for us all. Through suffering, Jesus completed the work necessary for our salvation. Our suffering can make us more sensitive servants of God a more sensitive servant to God. People who have known pain are able to react and reach out with compassion to others who are hurting. If you have suffered, the one thing you need to do is ask God how your experience can be useful to help someone else going through the same pains and same tragedies. That's the recipe of life for this night, the 28th day of November. Man, we're at the end of the year, saints. We are literally at the end of the year. Tonight, I've got a word that I really want to give to you, and I really want you to get your pens, your paper, and take some good notes. Amen? Because I want you to get this. I don't want you to fall short of what God has just for you. God's got something so supernatural that as I was thinking about this earlier myself, it started making me to understand where I am in Christ. Amen? My God. I need you guys to get this tonight. The secret to victory in spiritual warfare. The secret to victory in spiritual warfare. Let's go to the book of Ephesians 6 and 10. I got to tell you that there is victory in spiritual warfare. My God. You're going to grow in loving Jesus even more after you see what he's already done for you. The more I stand in the will of God and believe in him, it just makes me love. Some of you all want to quit, but I'm here to tell you, don't do it. Somebody wants to let go, but I'm here to tell you, you just stand in the will of God and watch what he's about to do. You got to have the experience to go through something. Because, see, then when you go through that, you don't want to go back to it again. You don't want to go back into the past and say, you know what, I want to give up on God. No, God says, I got you. The number one thing I see, if I go to the hospital, if I go to the jail, is panic. What panic is groundless fear. There's no need for you to walk in fear. It's because you don't know the will of God that's already over your life. We have to do something. And one of the things by counsel is I teach people to feed on the love of God when you're going through something. When the doctor is telling you one thing, or if you don't have the finances to do something, or if you don't have the resources to get to some place, that's not when time you should have fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. You got to feed on the love of God for you. I know it works. I know he loves me. I know he receives me. He has unconditional love for me. I receive that love. See, when you start to receive that, you start talking about it out loud, you'll start to notice that the panic and the fear will dissipate. It will transpose itself into peace. I think Christian people truly know how to do it. Yeah, panic and fear is going to know, but you got to know how to stop it and keep it from growing. You got to just start saying, I know Jesus loves me. God's love sustains me. God is with me. God is on my side. God loves me. Thank you, God, for the love that you have for me. See, why does the fear go away? Because the Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. My love's not perfect, but God's love is. And when you start to feed on that, it will cast every demon, every devil out of the situation. It will cast fear out of you by loving on the love of God. Do you know that? Let me show you something. A lot of people go to the hospital and they receive a report and they start to panic. And guess what? they fall victim or prey to what the doctors have called upon them. But they forgot, I've got a God who's more than enough. I've got a God who's Alpha and Omega. I've got a God that's bigger than this situation. I've got a God that has already healed me 2,000 years ago when his son went on Calvary's hill. I've got a God who's more than enough. I've got a God who's Alpha and Omega. See, when we start to put this information into the atmosphere, we're not going to worry about what the doctors say. We're not going to worry about what other folks say. I've got my mind set on a God that's capable, able, and willing. I'm not afraid, and fear is not going to be a part of my repertoire. I'm just not going to allow it. I'm not going to allow myself to feed into fear and allow fear to have victory over my life. Because once that's happened, once we've gone into that fear mode and the victory from fear has taken place, it's hard to bounce back. And unfortunately, in hospitals, people will die out of fear, out of torment, out of worry. Doesn't mean they're a bad person. It doesn't mean they're not in the will of God. It just means that they didn't trust God enough, or they didn't know enough to be able to claim this thing in a different scenario. Well, you've got cancer. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke that. Now, that doesn't mean you got to cuss the doctor. He's only doing his job. You don't have to curse the nurse every time she comes in to give you a shot and wakes you up every 4 hours to take blood. No, what you do is, and when they wake you up, you just say, praise God, I thank you for another time for me to open my eyes and to see clearly. Lord, I thank you in advance for the victory over my life, and I know that I'm healed. See, we got to start speaking life into existence. Yes, the doctor said, sir, Mr. Pinson, you only have 4 more hours to live. In the name of Jesus, I got a lifetime to live. In the name of the Most High God, I've got more than 4 hours. I've got a lifetime. That's what the doctors told me. You got 4 hours left. There's only 4 more hours in this day, and you only have 4 hours to live. Like, you must be out your mind. You must not know the God I serve. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. And start being able to, Lord, I thank you. I worship you. I glorify you. I praise you. See, when you start doing this, it starts to turn things around. It starts, good God Almighty from Zion. It starts to make the enemy even the more mad, because the enemy knows, wow, he's beating me at what I got beat with back in the day. See, it was because of the praise of God that Satan knows that he can't defeat him. He cannot destroy God. And when he sees people praising God for who he is, what he is, and what he's done already for you, then, man, Satan's going to get upset. Satan's going to be, he's going to be in a mad zone. But that's all right. He can be all that. But we have the ability to go to the next level because of the meditation and the words that come out of our mouth. God has given you a weapon to deal with everything that comes into your life. God loves you. See, you ought to say out loud, God loves me with an unconditional love, everlasting love. He loves me. He loves me. See, he's on my side. He is with me. He is for me. He's not mad at me. He's not even in a bad mood. He's in love with me. I am his beloved. I am highly loved of God. See, when you start to do that, it will usher in a peace and a confidence to just believe everything about God. Man, I'm telling you, when you execute this, it's going to open up new doors of opportunity. Panic is groundless fear. But you find yourself walking in fear. For without any reason, my God, nothing's happened. Nothing's gone forward, but you're afraid what might come to pass. And so you as a Christian, you as a believer, need to know, what can I do? Praise the Lord. I'll never forget when I was married many years ago, and my wife and I were in New York, and we got on a flight leaving New York, coming to Atlanta, and we got maybe a good 20 minutes into the flight, and I told my wife, I said, you know, something's wrong. She said, why do you say that? I said, one of the engines just went out. Now, she was a flight attendant for that same company. And she said, no, I don't think so. I said, I'm telling you, this left engine just went out. She's a flight attendant. She's trained for all these crazy things to happen. But she got fearful. Now, I didn't tell her that to make her fearful, but I told her that so that we can start praying together. Amen? And then all of a sudden, you heard the ding, ding. And the captain came on the air, and he said, ladies and gentlemen, we're about to make an emergency landing into Philadelphia. He said, when we land, you're going to see fire trucks and fire engines on both sides of the runway as the plane is coming down. He said, what's happened is we've lost one of the engines. And we've got to take this plane down. It's just for safety factors that they're going to have this emergency equipment ready. Well, they didn't know I had another emergency equipment ready on standby because I start talking to God. I said, God, this plane can land. We're going to get every person on this plane is going to come off, and nobody's going to come off hurt. Nobody's going to come off injured. Nobody's going to come off ill. God, you're going to land this aircraft, and everything is going to be all right. Guess what happened? A couple of minutes later, pilot came back on again. Ladies and gentlemen, we just lost the other. And see, I've never known a pilot to do this. I've never known a pilot to do this. And he came back on and he said, we just lost the second engine. Second engine was lost to a bird strike. You know, when a bird actually flies into the motor of the engine. Usually it doesn't stop the engine, but this time it did. So now we have two engines that are out, and we're still a little ways away. So now the plane is literally gliding through the air. My wife grabs my hand. She said, honey, please pray. And I looked at her and I said, baby, you don't know. I've been praying the whole time. Ever since when I first looked out there and realized that engine was gone, I've been praying. And I've been saying, God, you're more than enough. You're a mighty capable individual. You're one that can hold this plane in the air until we can get on that runway. But I took her hand and I told her, I looked at her in the eyes. I said, look at me. Tears start coming down her eyes. I said, look at me. I said, it's going to be all right. We're going to fly. We're going to land. We're going to get on another plane, and we're going to take off and land in Atlanta. I said, everything's going to be perfect. Why? Why was my mindset? And see, she was sitting next to the window. I was sitting next to the window. She was sitting in the middle row, and another lady was sitting on the aisle. The other lady said, my God, who do you know? What is it that you know? Everybody on the plane is panicking. I'm just praying. And I looked at the lady. I said, ma'am, let me tell you something. Don't worry. This plane is guided by El Shaddai. This plane is moving by the will of God. And we're going to land, and we're going to be fine. This woman's crying. She said, but I'm going to see my children, da, 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 this, that, and the other. I said, ma'am, everything's going to be okay. Don't you worry. She's grabbed hold of my wife on the other side. My wife's got my hand. And my wife had some nails, boy. She dug into my hand with those nails. And I'm saying, I looked at her, I said, now you're a flight attendant. You're supposed to be used to stuff like this. She said, yeah, but I'm going to tell you something. I've never been on no plane where both of the engines have gone out and we going down. She put a mark on my hand that I still have to this day. I said, you got to cut. I said, I love you, but you got to let my hand go because you're going to make me scream. But the one thing I didn't give up on, the one factor that I did not give up on as that plane was coming down, was that God is more than enough, and he is my provider. He is my El Shaddai. And say to God, when you have a God like that, you don't have to worry about nothing. Matter of fact, let me tell y'all something, what I did. I closed my eyes. I closed my eyes, and I said, God, everything's going to be all right. I'm just going to relax. I'm going to relax. I put my seat back, and my wife said, Gregory, you can't put your seat back. So I said, okay, no problem. I raised my seat back up. She said, why would you do that? I said, because I'm trying to go to sleep. She said, you what? I said, I'm trying to go to sleep. She said, we're in crash position. We're going down. Why would you try to go to sleep? I said, because it's in God's hands. And she realized at that point, now she already knew I was a praying man. She already knew the God that was in my life. She started to really see the manifestation of calmness because there was no fear in me. And I told her, I said, we'll get off this plane. We're going to get on the next plane, and we're going to fly with no problem. Why? Because I did not let fear come into that situation. See, if I let fear come into that situation, there would have been three people on that row panicking. God said, you're the man. And I gave you the ability to bring a calmness, even in the air. And when you call upon the name of Jesus, when you're going through your trials and tribulations, when you call upon the name of Jesus, no matter what the situation may look like, I'm telling you, fear will dissipate, love will illuminate, and God will get the glory. You better know the God that you serve. He's so much more than enough. And guess what? When I got on that second plane, she grabbed my arm, but I took my hand. I took my hand as we got on the jetway. And I said to my wife, I said, look, watch this. I took my right hand, and I put it on the outer fuselage of that aircraft. I said, now this plane will get to Atlanta without any hindrances. I decree it, I declare it, and it will be done. You know what I did? Saints of God, I got in that plane, I sat in my seat, and I just had a little short conversation with God. I said, look here. I said, that was just an eye-opener. I understand. I said, I hope I pass the test. I said, but could you do me a favor? Can you let this one get all the way in without any problems? Because I'm tired. I'm going to go to sleep. Saints, my wife stayed awake the whole time. I went to sleep, and I got me some rest. Why? Doc, how can you go to sleep after something like, man, because God is in control. I got to get you guys to understand. When you look at the book of Ephesians, you're going to start to understand why he's in control. You're going to start to understand that if I fall into fear, Ephesians 6 can't work for me. It just can't. It won't. But as long as I'm in faith factor with God, as long as I'm saying, you know what, God, you're the pilot. I'm just here for the ride. I'm just enjoying myself and getting someplace very quickly. And so guess what I did? I went to my seat. I sat down and I relaxed. I let my seat back. Matter of fact, I tell you what I did do. I had a cranberry juice and some peanuts. Shortly after we took off, I asked the waitress for it. She brought them to me. I drank that thing down. I ate those nuts, and I went right to sleep. When it was time for me to wake up, the thing was saying, ding, please bring your chairs to upright position. And so I slept the whole way from Philly to Atlanta, which is only like an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes flight. But I slept from Philly to Atlanta without any fear. When we got into the baggage claim area, my wife at the time looked at me and she said, you know what? She said, I love you. I said, why are you saying that? She said, because I saw a side of you that just totally amazed me. She said, now, yes, you're law enforcement. You know how to deal with situations. She said, but when a plane loses both engines, she said, everybody ought to be able to panic some. She said, but you brought calm to two panicking people. She said, I just want to let you know I love you. I appreciate you. She didn't love me much long after that, but she did at least love me for that moment. Amen. Amen. But the thing about it is, God, we got to get to that place where we're about to go into battle with fear. We go into that battle knowing the love of God that's over our lives, and nothing can change it. I don't know who that was for, but I hope you can use that. All right, let's look at Ephesians. We're talking about the secret of victory in spiritual warfare. Let's go over to Ephesians 6 and 10. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers of rulers of the dark world, and spiritual witnesses in high places. You got to notice something here. You're not being held responsible for any of this. God is. You're not being held responsible for performing in any way, for doing anything. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord, in your union with him. To be strong with the Lord means that you have a union that you have with God that's going to cause you to be strong. You're not going to be strong by yourself. You're never going to be able to be successful by yourself. But when you have the union with you, then guess what? Everything works for your good. You're going to be empowered through your union with God. Say this, I am empowered through my union with God. It's my union with him. It's my union with God that makes me strong. Now, let me get really intense, because I just thought about this. Now, check this out. Check this out. This is interesting. God, I thank you. My union with him is going to determine my success. It is when we try to accomplish what we accomplish and we completely forget about God. But it's really our union and relationship with God that allows us to get to where we are. When has it ever been about you and your ability? No, it's always been about the union that you have with God that opens the door of opportunity so that you can defeat the enemy in every aspect of your life. It's the union that you've established. See, God is already there. You got to understand this. God is already there. He's willing, able, and capable. But it's you, it's me, it's us that have got to put this union into place and in right order. Your union with God, not with what you have by yourself, not what you got on the side, it's your relationship that makes you strong. What's the implication? If you disregard your union with God, you're going to say, my strength is gone. I can't be strong unless I have him. I have no strength except in him. And except religion always wants you to think that you're strong in your own ability. You don't have enough to be strong the way God desires you to be strong. You can't do it by yourself. But it's your union with God that gives you the strength that makes you strong. So draw your strength from God. Since your union from him makes you strong, then draw your strength from him. That strength, which is boundless, might provide I just need you to see everything about your strength comes from God. Get that in your mind. Get that in your heart. Get that in your thinking. It comes from Him. Put on God's armor, God's whole armor. The armor of a heavy armed soldier that God supplies. There again, everything about this armor comes from where? God. He said that you may be able. Now, notice this. When you get your strength from Him, when you're strong because of Him, even when you put on your armor that He supplies, notice what happens. That you may be able to succeed, to stand up against all the strategies and of the enemy. Now, there's a couple of things that we've learned in verse number 11. Verse 11 says there are strategies that the enemy has developed towards you and against you. And the Bible says the only way we stand up against those situations is through who? Christ. Through Him we breathe. Through Him we live. Through Him we love. Satan strategizes how to take you down, though. The strategies, there's something about your life, there's something about who you are that Satan desires to bring you down. Oh, he studied you. But how is he going to take you down? You got to understand spiritual warfare. I'll show you in a moment. Spiritual warfare is all about maintaining the victories that Jesus has obtained. Spiritual warfare is all about you maintaining the victories that Jesus have obtained. Maintaining the victories that Jesus obtained. What are the victories? Jesus obtained your healing. Jesus obtained your deliverance. You maintained it. Jesus obtained your freedom, your prosperity, whatever it is. Now you got to maintain it. The main thing with Christian people is you try to obtain what Jesus had already obtained. Your job is to realize and to believe that He obtained it, but you got to maintain it. But spiritual warfare is going to be about how getting you to step away and to step off of the belief that it's been obtained. Well, what happened when you don't believe that it has been obtained, that the victory has been obtained? What happens? You immediately go back to performance-based living. You immediately go back to self-effort living. What you found in yourself, then you're going to keep doing that. You know, I did this. Me, I. The whole spiritual battle is tied into what Jesus has done and accomplished through His blood. You believing that, you maintaining it, and then trusting God that His job is going to make it sure that it manifests in your life. The only way that the devil can win in this spiritual warfare is to get you to go back to performance-based living. Self-centered, self-effort, performance-based living. Now, if he can get you to go back to that, he wins. But in all the strategies that he has made up to get you off of what Jesus has maintained and what you're to maintain in faith, to stand there and not be moved is going to give him a understanding that you won't be shaken. The only thing that's stopping you from walking in the manifestation is how many times you've been knocked off what you have attained. If you just look at your own life, how many times are you finding yourself struggling with believing that it's going to happen? Struggling with believing that he's obtained your situation. Wow. I don't know about your life, but when I look at my life, I can look back and say, wow. When it came in, my God. When I was doing certain things, let me regress for a second. When I was doing certain things, it was all about me. It was all about I. It was all about how I did this, how I accomplished this, how I got this Mercedes, how I got this BMW, how I got this house, how I got this townhouse, how I got this house. It was all about I. See, Satan was winning. Though I was in church, though I was ministering, though I was doing what God called me to do, but I took the focus off of God. I put it on me, and every time, every turn I made, there was an obstacle in my way. Why? Because I took the focal point off of God and his ability, and I put it on me. I allowed the enemy to come into the camp and deceive me, to make me think, hey, you know what? I did do this. I really did this. Not, you know, God, I thank you for what you gave me. God, I appreciate it. And I'm going to tell you something. Even as a man of God, some of you all have gone through that same plight in life. I made this happen. I pay the cost to be the boss. Well, no, you really don't. You really don't. Because, see, when we really start to look at it, God even gives us the financial resources to be in the position that we're in. God does it. God is your eternal source for everything. But see, the enemy wants you to get in your mind, I can do it, I did it, and I can do it again. I had these kids. These are my kids. Oh, no. Uncontrary. God blessed you with those children. God gave you those children. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't be here. Amen? We got to start to really let this illuminate in our lives. We've got to allow this to resonate in our minds. Because, see, so often what gets us off the playing field is the I. We take our focus. Now, watch this. We take our focus off of God, and we put it on ourselves. Because you've got to remember, there's an entity over here to the right side trying to stir something up for you to fall. And so he says, you did this. And guess what? Pride says, well, you know what? I sure did. Pride will come in. You know what? I did this. I built this. But we don't give God the glory. And then we wonder why this thing that I created, fails. It fails because we lose sight of what we're supposed to trust in. And that's okay. And I know this is an oxymoron, but I'm going to tell you, that's okay. Because all you got to do is do like I did. Repent, change gears, slow down, give it back to God. Put God back in the driver's. That's what I had to do. Because at one point I got to the place where it was me, I. There was no God. Not that I didn't believe in God. Now, don't get me wrong. Not that I didn't believe in God. I did, and I always will. But the thing about it is I put myself in a position that I created this. I directed this. I moved upon this to make this happen. You see where I'm going? And see, that really wasn't me. That's never been my makeup in all of my life. I've always glorified God for everything. And then all of a sudden, the enemy tried to come in. And he got in there for a minute. And he tried to get me to start speaking in a different verbiage and allude that I was the one. That lasted for probably about 2 months. And I woke up. And I apologized. I repented. And I ask God, please forgive me, because I could never have done what I've done. Only you could have done it. Only you could have created these children. Only you could have blessed me the way you blessed me with every vehicle I've ever wanted. Oh my God, you all just don't know. You know, it's funny. I started going into lack when I put the I in. I had always been in overflow before. Now watch this. I have always been in overflow. Whatever I desired, I had within a matter of time. And I'm talking about not months. I'm talking about weeks. If I desired something, it would manifest and it would happen. God would provide the source or a resource for this to take place. God always provided and opened up a door of opportunity in every aspect of my life. And then when I put the I in it, it shut it down. It closed the door. Everything started to evaporate. But then when I thought over what I was doing, and I apologized and I repented, guess what? The overflow immediately went back into fruition. It just started taking place, and it was just like I'm snapping my finger. It was just moving perfectly once again. See, if I was in the eye when I was on that plane leaving out of LaGuardia, and if it was all about Gregory, if it was just about I can do this, then guess what happens? That plane would have probably crashed. But because I knew to give God the glory, the honor, and the praise. Because let me explain something to you. Don't you know that this is the place where Satan can have havoc on your mind 32,000 feet in the air? Let me tell you something. I was on a plane. Everything always happened to me crazy things happened to me on planes. I was on a plane from Hawaii to Atlanta, and we were probably somewhere over California. And as we were going past California, there was one heck of a thunderstorm. Part of the plane got hit with lightning. Now watch this. I'm sitting on the aisle, and I'm looking. And I'm seeing this round thing going down the aisle, this bright white light in a circular motion going straight down the aisle, and then it disappeared. What was it? It was lightning. It singed the carpet, but the plane was fine. The darndest thing, when we landed, there was a big burn singe on top of that fuselage. You can see where the lightning hit it. You can see where that lightning went straight across that carpet. But nobody on that plane was hurt. Why? It wasn't because of me, but it was because of God. It was because of God. And also by the way the plane is constructed, they got these little poles that are actually in the plane and on the outside of the plane that will attract that electricity and make it dissipate. But the thing about it is, saints of God, if it was all about Gregory, if it was all about my will, then guess what would have happened? Plane two could have gone down. I kept giving God the glory, honor, and praise. I gave God all of the glory. I was giving it to him not when the lightning hit, but before. When that plane was jumping up and going down and flipping to the one side and turning to the other side. And I used to tell my ex-wife, I said, man, I love going through a storm. I love it. It's like because I'm a thrill seeker. I love roller coasters. I'll ride a roller coaster all day, every day. And it was just like riding a roller coaster to me. So I like the dips. And Crazy Gregory, now watch this. Crazy Gregory would take his seatbelt off so that I shouldn't feel this, but I'm going to. I would take my seatbelt off so that I would come up out of the seat when the plane would lose altitude. I would unbuckle my seatbelt so when the plane hit that turbulence, that it would try to thrust me into doing a movement or whatnot. I was just a thrill seeker like that. I really was. And when that lightning came down, barreling down, I had already been praying, and I had already been seeking God's face, and I was believing God for safety. Though I liked the turbulence, I was still seeking God's face. I sought God's face, and I believed God for safety, not for myself, but for everybody on that aircraft. Because let me tell you something. When you drop 1,000 feet that fast, everybody's screaming. Everybody's doing something. You know, it to me, there again, I'm a thrill seeker, and I love to have those dips, that 500-feet dip, that 1,000-feet dip. I loved when it did that. That was youthfulness. That was youthfulness on my part. But God kept me grounded. God kept me grounded because of my prayer, my praise, and my worship. Because I knew that he was my resource. I knew that Ephesians 6 had me covered. I wasn't worried about what the enemy wanted to do. He's been trying to kill me all my life. I was electrocuted at the age of 2. Electrocuted, literally, at the age of 2. If my mother was online, she'll tell you. I was electrocuted at 2 years old because at 2 years old, and I'm going to tell my age now, when I was 2, scissors were made out of cast iron. They didn't have that plastic sheathing on there or that rubber sheathing that they put on there now to keep you from getting shot if you cut metal. Back then, it was all stainless steel. And I cut into the Christmas tree lights. And that thing put a shock on my behind. Now, at 2 years old, I don't know how to pray. I don't know nothing about prayer. Only thing I knew was I picked up the scissors, cut the power to the lights on the Christmas tree. I didn't know it was going to do that. Next thing you know, the scissors had a big gaping hole in it, singed. I'm on the other side of the room. But here I am today, in my right mind. Maybe that's why I love God so much. I don't know. I know he's been good to me, that's for sure.
Now, you've got to learn
how to rest in the finished works of Jesus Christ. You've got to learn how to rest in the finished works of Jesus Christ. What do I mean by the finished works? I told you all this on Thursday night. The finished works of Jesus Christ is your healing. The finished works of Jesus Christ is your deliverance. The finished works of Jesus Christ is your salvation. It was already committed for you on Calvary's Hill over 2,000 years ago. Jesus made it possible for you to be saved, set free, and delivered 2,000 years ago. Now you're going to walk into that deliverance. You're going to walk into that healing. You're going to walk into that opportunity today, and you're going to start to take hold. See, we're asking God for all the wrong things. And this thing is really hitting me. We're asking God for all the wrong things. See, when we, good God Almighty from Zion, God, I need you to take this cold off. Look, guess what? Your cold was healed back on Calvary's Hill, baby. God, they told me I got cancer, and I got leukemia, and I got sickle cell, and I got this. It was all dealt with 2,000 years ago on Calvary's Hill. Walk in your healing by grace.